Yes, yes, and yes, yes, y'all. You live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Check Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
You rap E double.
All right, settle down. Too excited about that.
Was it too rushed?
It was a little in a hurry.
You rap Waldorf.
Right? That's Statler Waldorf. That's pretty funny.
That was humorous. And you know why? It's funny because it's accurate.
It's actually about the most accurate thing anybody's ever said about me, and probably about both of us.
Well, the only thing is that I found out that the shorter one is Waldorf, which is the only reason that I said I'm Waldorf. But I think the other guy's angrier, isn't he? Which would also be me.
Are you angrier? I think most people on the show would consider me angrier, but I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know. That's not what the polling says.
Fair enough. I actually had to look up this question because I wrote it down right, by the way, the opening question. Not that it's that profound. I've been writing them down lately, so I have a list of them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not a list you want somebody to just find.
Nope. Some of these
things I deeply want to ask Kev.
Hey, some of these made the cutting room floor, are on the cutting room floor deservingly. Like, yeah, these got to go.
Why do it, Kev? Opening question: why do Asian people drive so poorly?
It's like, oh, this guy was an asshole. I'm glad he got hit by a truck.
Right? That's not going to happen. neither me getting hit by a truck nor me ever asking that question. But, in light of our podcast and our friendship and us being the Statler and Waldorf, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year is the 25th anniversary of the show Friends.
That's, you only know that because you have the Friends logo in the year that the show started tattooed across your chest.
Well, look, I'm just hoping you're not doing this shirtless to begin with, right? And now we're talking about tattoos and blah blah blah. But
I have a Steve Harvey suit on right now. Don't worry about it. Everything is under control
or out of control entirely. With all that being said, Kev, how many episodes of Friends have you watched, if any?
I probably watched a lot of them.
Really?
But I didn't, it wasn't, let's put it this way. If it came out now and it was just as, you know, popular and, you know, if everything was the same, but it came out now, I probably would have watched more, actually.
Really?
But at the time I was like, I wasn't watching a lot of TV and I wasn't.
Where were you going to find yourself in it with the, like, with the just, no other people, no people of color in this New York entirely on the show? Like, where were we in Friends? Like, where were black folks and Asian folks and everybody else? Where were they?
I see myself as a Rachel.
All right. Done.
What's up? This is Orion. You're listening to Rap Sucks Radio.
And yes, y'all, you are rocking live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Track Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
What up? Wait, tell me something real quick.
Sure.
And I'm sure I could Google this at this point, but I never knew why it was E double.
Neither do I.
Can you explain why?
God, me neither.
Yeah. See? Every so often I like to just drop one. Just so that you know that even though we say rap sucks, spot that hip hop.
Nah, but did it have something to do with his middle name?
No idea.
Yeah.
I think we gotta go to Area 51 to find out.
All right. Either way, wherever y'all are listening from, whatever platform you decided to tune in from, yo, Kev, real quick, I actually looked on the site to see where we had listeners from. And there's like nine in Canada. there's a couple in Germany. There's a couple in South America. Like, I'm wondering, are these people like traveling together and then just listening to the podcast wherever they go?
They're visiting, they're nine people visiting slave plantations all over the world.
For real. But
giving bad Yelp reviews, listening to Rap Sucks. Good for you. God bless you. Godspeed.
I'm going to give you two guesses at where our second highest listenership is from. The first highest Greenland. Is California.
Okay.
Okay. So two guesses. Go.
Greenland.
No.
Australia.
No. Michigan.
Oh. Well, of course.
Like, at, why, who, thank you, but who though?
They're in Marysville.
I was thinking, are all those listeners like listening because Marysville, Michigan was on the show? But anyway.
All you people in the 312 or whatever it is. I don't know. No, that's Chicago.
That is Chicago. Yes. So now that you've screwed that up, we will move on. Thank each and every one of y'all for listening, man. Even if you listen to one episode because your your state is in it, I still appreciate it. We still appreciate it. Right. Who's out here tripping, Kev?
Barbecue Becky.
Barbecue. New Barbecue Becky. All right. This is about to be wild.
Silicon. Let me start by.
All right, go ahead.
Well, yeah. I want to shout out because, and I wanted to do it last episode, but my girl Layla was the first. This is everywhere now, but my girl Layla was the first one I saw who posted this. So that's what brought it to my attention. But I want to also shout out like Traumatics and Omega and Fizz, who are actually. We don't like to do anything in terms of effort, putting in effort or expending mental energy to figure out what we're going to talk about on the show. So the more work you do, the less work we have to do. So by all means, continue doing what you do because
yeah,
it makes our lives a lot easier. And if you have a topic that you want us to talk about for who knows why, then... You know, let us know.
That's actually what Traumatics did. What Alan did. I appreciate that because he sent us two of the topics we used in the last 2 weeks.
Word,
including the one with the octopus on the face, I believe. all right. So who's out here tripping? Scylla Carden out here tripping. Why? Yep. You ask. A vegan woman has taken her neighbors to court because they keep. Kev, you ready?
I'm ready.
Barbecuing meat and fish, and the smell keeps wafting over into her garden. This is gone.
That sounds like heaven to me.
Not to Scylla. Via LAD Bible, Scylla Carden is suing or has sued Tone Vu. Carden is taking the neighbors to court for... willfully and knowingly allowing smells from their barbecue to drift over into her garden in the suburb of Gurwein, leaving her unable to use her own back garden. She says, in quotes, "They've put it there so I smell fish. All I can smell is fish. I can't go out there."
Well, yeah. It's funny because when you read that name, the name is spelled T-O-A-N, and you said Tone. I was like, his name's Tone.
Is it Toan or something like that?
I don't know. I assume something to that effect. But yeah. I also want to hear a Vietnamese Australian accent.
I would love to hear. Actually, I take that back. I have heard it.
Oh, that's dope.
I actually have heard that. God, dude, what a weird life. Anyway. yeah, man. Straight to court. This has been rejected twice by the Supreme Court of Western Australia for lack of evidence.
Take it to the east side.
However, it could be taken to a higher court. Yeah, maybe the east side. Moving on up, as they say, or down. I just got tons of information here. She's also complained about the smell of cigarettes and the sound of kids playing with basketballs. Multiple basketballs, that is. She says, and I quote, "It's been devastating. It's been turmoil. It's been unrest. I haven't been able to sleep."
Oh,
She's also complained about the neighbors on the other side, but we don't know what she complained about. But she's also complained about her neighbors. Shorty liked to complain and complain.
Yes, I would move to the Aboriginal lands, but we've already taken that over.
Oh my gosh. Who takes that to two different courts and might take it to like a higher court? You know, it's still got bread though.
I'm sure she does because, well, I don't know. Maybe they have universal legal fees or something in Australia.
You know, give Bernie a minute, man. He'll be on that. You know what I'm saying?
Good Lord. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're vegan, I understand. Like, if you smell meat all the time, that's probably going to cause you a little bit of irritation.
Yeah.
But, you know, move. I don't know. That's not fair. Whatever.
Just look. It's just
go back to where you came from. I don't know where she came from. Well, maybe she came from next door. Who knows?
Who knows? Mr. Vu said that he has removed the grill from his backyard and instructed his kids to not play basketball in the backyard anymore. Like, Mr. Vu has just changed his family's life entirely because she can't deal with the smell of other people's food. Like, come on. What are you doing? You know what I mean?
Come on, Tone. Come on, Tone.
Tone, yeah. We got your back, Tone. We're coming over for a barbecue. If we're in Australia, if you're listening from Australia and you know Mr. Vu, please let him know that Rap Sucks Radio wants to fly out at his expense and eat barbecue with him at his expense, and we will bug Scylla for him. But it's all at his expense though.
I want old Scylla to move to a 150 unit apartment complex in Brooklyn.
Right? Right.
And not smell any ethnic food.
I was going to say, there is no way.
Ever.
Scylla would die. She'd just die.
And that's the thing. Yeah, we all have, everybody, I don't care who you are, you have, there's a sector of your people who cook stink food.
Yeah, absolutely. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
And if you don't like it, just know that there is somebody who's walking in 10 minutes behind you who is so happy to smell that.
You know what? Black folk, where y'all at? Help me out here. Not chitlins. God, not chitlins. I actually would turn into Scylla if my neighbor constantly cooked chitlins. You know, I'm kind of now, you know what? I'm actually moving over to Scylla's side here. If it was chitlin show, we would be in court. Shut it down. Shut it down. Like, you gotta shut it down. Yeah, I cannot smell that smell. Oh god, no. No, no, no. It's like in my mind knows. I think I'm just gonna walk off the show now. I think I'm done, yeah. I think this has actually shut my whole brain down. Yeah. Whew, good Lord. Let's move on to the next topic.
You're down with barbecue Becky, huh?
At this point, yeah, if yeah, Chitlin's Reg is not having it.
Down under with barbecue Becky. that could be like Paula Deen's new cooking show.
Down under with barbecue
Becky. Barbecue Becky.
Yeah. I like this title, man. Live from the Crimson White. I fell out, man, when I saw that was the source. I was on the floor. I didn't know if they were for it or against it. Oh my god. I couldn't tell.
And by the way, just a milestone. Episode 26, first time one of our sources has not been Fox News, but rather a .edu.
Right. Oh, we make, man.
Very highbrow.
Yeah, we are.
And I want to shout out the homie Papa Bug. It's crazy because he's somebody who I think I only hung out with once. But we've stayed sort of in contact over social media, but it's mostly because he just he's the social media curator, very near to the center of my social media life. So yeah, he brought this to my attention. But yeah, man, this is kind of crazy.
This one is wild, yo. This one is wild. Jamie R. Riley, the University of Alabama's assistant vice president and dean of students, has resigned from his position after less than 7 months on the job and a day after Breitbart News published an article detailing images of past tweets where he criticized the American flag and made a connection between police and racism.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I thought it was super ironic that the publication is still or is called the Crimson White. They've never chosen to evaluate the potential implications of that. I'm not sure. I would imagine there's probably some historic Confederate history.
Gotta be. Alabama? Gotta
be. Related to that. But, you know, and also this was like a Breitbart thing. So, but the fact that they ran with that as a source. So Jamie Riley is an African-American man, you know, at a school that in Alabama that is from what I can tell, just, and this is just based on reading the article, is not a largely African-American student population school.
No, not at all.
But what did he tweet that was so inflammatory?
Well, he said the flag represents, end quote, this is quoted from Mr. Riley, the flag represents a systemic history of racism for my people. Police are part of that system. Is it that hard to see the correlation? I'm baffled about how the first thing white people say is, that's not racist, when they can't even experience racism. That, he said, you know, you have zero say-so. That was right. His tweet.
So this is a black person saying this, and I looked back at the date when that tweet, it wasn't that long ago. My guess, and this is just a guess, but my first thing in looking back at seeing that date was I kind of jumped to the conclusion that it might have been around, you know, the Kaepernick controversy when it was really hot.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't actually look to see if it particularly was, but it certainly was a conversation at that time. I think it was like September of 2017 or something like that.
Yeah.
But guess what? Doesn't matter when it was. That's always a topic of conversation. And if you don't like it, and it doesn't matter what color you are, if you don't like it, guess what? You need to go ahead and let that roll directly off of your back.
Well, you're going to have to take this L. But here's the thing. This reminds me, and I want to talk more specifically about him and sort of the, you know, this falls under the current, like, bring up your old tweets, you lose your job. Bring up your old tweets, you lose your fan base. Bring up your old tweets, you lose your opportunity to host the Oscars or whatever. Or, you know,
right. That was the Mad Libs format of this article.
Right. Yeah.
Right. However.
However, Americans seem to have this uncomfortable idea with the fact that all American history is not pretty. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
And they're very uncomfortable. I'm from America. We seem to be collectively very uncomfortable with bringing up the ugliness of American history. You know what I'm saying? Just three episodes ago or something, we're around there, a woman was complaining about plantations, a tour of a plantation where I actually talked about slavery and it bothered her.
Right.
You have people who, you know, there are some people that don't celebrate the 4th of July because black people were still slaves during independence, and it doesn't truly represent our independence. But people were like, well, why can't you just get on board? Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things you don't get on board with. And if that's the case, then why don't we all celebrate Juneteenth as well? How come that's not a right. thing that you jump out and celebrate? So I don't all the way get it, but I just don't understand why you can't accept that American history is not all, you know, roses. That America's done a lot of horrible things to people who are the descendants of its citizens, you know, whose citizens are the descendants of the people you did these horrible acts to. I just don't understand the get over it mentality and why this always rears its head And now you're there. You know, the comment section was wild. That was one of the notes I put. Comment section gone wild. Man,
that was my note too.
Yeah, man.
I was sort of like, the damn comments. My goodness. Which honestly, I don't even know why I was that surprised, but I was like, whoa, man.
Yeah, they were hype.
But to me, I felt like that was the Breitbart traffic. You know, that was, they had the, all those comments, you know, when they were looking at the screen, they had the Breitbart tracking cookie in their URL bar. Like, that's where that came from.
Yeah, they were ready to fight, man. They were ready to fight.
But just like, yeah, it's this week. This week in butthurt racists unite. Like really, like, stop treating racism like it's a unicorn or an alien at Area 51 or, you know, Sasquatch or something like that. It's like, it's, you know, come on.
Yeah, I don't know why this is so new to people. And that might be, I don't want to say America's biggest problem because it depends on who you are. But by and large, America's biggest issue is just not head-on facing and apologizing for racism. And I don't know if to a man people have to apologize. I don't think that that's the case. But I think it needs to be understood.
That it existed.
That it existed.
Exists. Yeah. Understand that global warming is a thing.
Good luck with that.
Like, you might not agree with the intricacies of how it is affecting our lives day to day, industry for industry, or all that. But dude, come on, man.
Well,
when you can literally take a position on whether or not in complete state of Alabama. Since we're talking about Alabama, was potentially in trouble.
Yes.
It's like, dude, cut it out.
Yeah, just stop, guys. Just stop. And I know you're not going
to
stop.
This is not trying to fit your Suburban in a compact parking spot. It's like the lines are very far apart.
But everything is this treading on. Like, everything is treading on them now. Like, these people that were in the comment section, it's like, this was a big win for them. One of the guys said, racist loses job. I just fixed your title. It's like, dude, first of all, did he say that black people are superior to white people? No. Okay, well, then he's not racist, because that is what racism is. So look up the definition as you run about throwing that around like you're going to, you know, like all of a sudden you're vindicated. We've suffered the same thing. Like, knock it off. That's basically what you're trying to do. And the other thing is, look, the truth is a little bit painful. You know? It's just painful. It's painful for anybody and everybody. But it's really painful when it's directed at something that you truly love and value and care for. Now, on this show, I'll say something that I won't levy onto my partner, Kev, over here. You know what I'm saying? I don't particularly hate...
That Nelly is the greatest hip-hop artist to ever walk the planet Earth?
So that's trash.
Besides Ja Rule?
No, Nelly's trash, and Ja Rule's also trash. I don't particularly hate America, but I don't love it either. Like, I'm not really, like... I'm not outside running around waving flags and wilding out. But to be fair, man, I don't think I'd do that anywhere. I think the reality is, you know, you're born here, you follow the rules, you leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Study the history and respect your neighbor, and that's the end of it. That's as far as you're going to get from me as far as pride in the country. You know what I'm saying? Now,
that's just being a grown-up.
But some people want so much more. Like, no, you need to kiss the American ground and roll around in it. Like, come on, man.
Every last one of those people, those dudes in those in that comment section, was the dude at the club. The heterosexual dude at the club where he hits on the chick and she, you know, doesn't want to have anything to do with him because he's a buster.
Right.
And he's like, F you.
Yeah. Calls her out of her name. Yep.
Right. Like, yeah. No. Cut it out.
But this whole, you've got to love every bit of it. I like doing that voice, by the way. You've got to love all
That's
of this.
A good voice.
Or you got to leave it. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, that's not how any of this works. You know what I'm saying? That's not how any of this works, right, man. I can actually just live and work and have an opinion and whatever. Like, come on, man. Like, knock it off. Yeah. Knock it off.
And by the way, when you're ways, but that's a, harder the thing is that when you are saying those things, not you, when they are saying those things, you don't love all of it. You know what I mean? I don't need you to love all of me.
Right.
I don't need you to particularly love any part of me. So why do you need me to love all of you?
Right. But why do I need to love a country? Like any country. I actually can get it if my ancestry in that country goes so deep. You know what I mean? Like, it makes a lot of sense if, you know, we're the settlers of that country. You know, if, listen, obviously Hawaii is not a country, although it probably should be. But I get why Hawaiians are so deeply ingrained in Hawaii. It's their ancestry. It's where, you know, it's everything that they are, in a sense, right? America's not that for a lot of people. I'm one of them. It's not everything.
But also,
that I am,
let's take a step back. First of all, people in Hawaii are assholes to each other, just like everywhere else.
Just like everywhere else, true. Or they can be.
Just like everywhere else. But the thing about and it's not, there's not really a but, what it is is that when there's a larger enemy, generally speaking, we come together to contend with that larger enemy. And that's what I don't understand about the whole climate change thing, is because the climate change thing is a bigger enemy, like a mug. But when we don't have that, and when we're encouraged to find the enemy within, that's exactly what we do. You know, the problem that I have is that what this man was doing was simply saying, this continues to be a problem that affects not just my community, but your community as well.
That is the issue with police brutality and the discussion of police brutality, that I cannot understand why it's so hard to get through thick heads. Listen, if you're a police officer listening to this show, or a person who loves police officers, that's fine. I get it. You should hate criminal police officers. They put actual, I want to do my job the right way or to the best of my ability, police, in so much danger. You know what I'm saying? They make it so much worse and so much harder for everyone else out there. You know? Do you think that the Rampart District made it easier for police? Come on, man. Like, what are we even thinking here? If you want to fix a system of things, then you need transparency. You need it to be equal. And if you want equality, you practice equality. So all of this, you can't say anything about the police because they're, you know, so good to us. I mean, listen, that is exactly what freedom of speech is. I can speak out against any government organization. You know what I'm saying? And I can't be cut off. I have to, my opinion has to matter or be at least taken into consideration. So I don't understand why people can't get this about America in general and can't get this about police brutality and the discussion thereof. Why can you not understand that it affects you just as much as it affects the person who's being assaulted or abused by a police officer? You know what I'm saying?
Right. If it was genuinely fictional, nobody would be talking about it.
No.
You know, there are obviously, it's not something that you can simplify, which is why it is a difficult problem to address and to, you know, much less to solve. But that's what being a grown up is.
That's an adult.
You know, that's why putting the square block in the square hole is something you do when you're two. And it's not like that when you are 40 years old. It's a lot more complicated.
It probably should be for some
people. So try and elevate your thinking to at least, you know, a second grade reading level. And because the thing is that if, man, my next door neighbor could move in and be a police officer, and we're going to talk, and there's not going to be any kind of a beef, but obviously right away you know what kind of a person you're dealing with,
right?
And also, more importantly, whatever anyone else is saying on the larger national stage about, you know, victims' rights, convicts' rights, criminal rights, police rights, and all that, it doesn't affect my interaction with that person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we both have the ability to detach and understand the all of those intricacies because we're fucking adults. So stop acting like you're a kindergartner or a preschooler when you get in the comment section. Cut it out.
I mean, yeah, that's a sell in and of itself.
We should literally have the Rap Sucks Radio comment section. It literally just be a square, a circle, and a triangle. And there's only three answers available for PMD, E double, or Redman.
here's the funnier part about all this. Like, moving away from this topic just a little bit and onto the subject of social media. It's so odd that people feel martyred for their opinion on social media. Like, I've heard people say you can't say something. I'm like, okay, what's happening to you when you say something? Just somebody's disagreeing with you? Is that what's happening? Like, your ego is so large, you're so full of yourself that when you say something and someone disagrees with you, you're being martyred? Like, I'm buying it. I'm buying entirely that a constant disagreeable person on your Facebook page or just, you know, kind of around you and in your life personally is hard to be around, you know? If you're like, oh, well, you know, the sun's out. Well, the sun's not really out. It's just kind of out. Oh, well, you know, I really, you know, liked that show last night. Well, it was all right. It's just kind of a show that kind of, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. I totally get it. It's bothersome. But no one's trying to kill you for your opinion. You're not losing anything, so knock it off.
Did I see you say that your life has been threatened twice?
Yes, it's actually been threatened twice. Yep.
Did I actually post my reaction? I think I started to write a reaction and I was like, nah, I'll wait.
Nope, you did not post a reaction.
I am so sad that you got me 2-0 in that category. I find it most difficult to believe that you have blanked me in the general category of good Lord, man. I don't want anyone to threaten my life because, you know, don't do that.
Yeah, no, don't.
But good Lord, man. And I see what you're doing with the martyr thing because I think you're going to go into there's a little bit of Bible fan fiction there, right?
Yep. One more way.
Yep. I'm helping you, brother. I'm trying to turn the reviews around.
Well, that's the thing. Biblical cinematic.
Cut to three episodes from now, and it'll be segues.
Segues.
I don't particularly care for them or the content, but the segues.
Segues are on point.
Flawless.
Yeah, you notice I haven't even tried any fresh segues. Like, my feelings are really hurt. But moving on to the next subject, like you were saying, man, this kind of sets up the kind of martyrism and the ideology that you know, everything's in your way and stopping you from existing. This week's But Nah speaks to a person who, you know, is on their biblical fan fiction. They're going to use the Bible and and all of this to their own self-serving ideology, which is funny because what was her name? Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a woman who said that her town should remain white as possible.
Marysville.
Yeah, we spoke about it in the beginning of the show. But a Mississippi...
Jean Kramer
was her name, yeah. This one is in Mississippi. This is a Boone's Camp Event Hall in Boonesville, Mississippi. A Mississippi wedding venue that refused to serve an interracial couple has apologized in the face of backlash over its discriminatory policy. This is the quote when the bride-to-be requested to use the hall for the wedding.
Right.
The owner said, "First of all, we don't do gay weddings or mixed race. Because of our Christian race? I mean, our Christian belief," woman corrected herself. "I don't want to argue my faith," she says. "We just don't participate." So, I'm sorry, what Christian values are you breaking by having an interracial wedding? I'm completely lost on where that ideology comes from biblically. But yeah, I'm kind of done. I'm done with these people. Like, I'm so done entirely. I don't really discuss interracial dating. I just don't care about anybody's opinion on what other people should do with
between you and me, we can agree that interracial dating is the devil's playground.
Well, yeah.
But
it certainly makes your life worse. I'm kidding.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, man, it's like, stop. The crazy thing is that her husband called her out.
For real?
You know, come on. In a good Bible, God-fearing couple, the man is supposed to be the stupid one. Come on. What are you doing?
Well, she was actually well within her rights in Mississippi to take this stance, by the way. 2006.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 2016, Mississippi legislature passed a religious freedom law allowing businesses to refuse service to LGBT people on the basis of their religious beliefs about marriage or gender. Republican Governor Phil Bryant signed that bill into law. After being initially struck down in federal court, the conservative U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals allowed the law to stand. The U.S. Supreme Court did not take the case. So, yeah, I think she took the Religious Freedom Act a little too far. Not that I think that, you know, not allowing gay marriage is cool either, but you can't have a heterosexual marriage in a Christian environment. Like, I don't know. You just doubling down at this point, like tripling down. You just picking shit you don't like and then saying God said don't do it. Like, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's the thing. The Bible is not and I'm not a Christian person. I'm not, you know, someone who has read, you know, nearly a small part of the Bible. I've read more of the Bible than most people who are not Christians, but it's not a checklist.
That it is not.
It is not something that you get to refer to support your beefs.
To some people it is.
So, yeah. Man, stop it, man.
Yes, that's a little too much.
That's the whole thing. It's like people get like, I'm burning a topic for that we haven't used yet, but you same people, your ilk is going to talk about how kids can't read Harry Potter.
Oh man, that is a crazy. Yo, can you explain that? Because didn't they say, wait, they said the spells were real?
Well, they said that, you know what? I don't even care. I don't even want to know. They said that the evil spells could conjure pagan some whatever. It's like, yeah. And I like my headline for that. That's why I'm upset that I burned it. My headline was that Harry Potter is a fictional book, and it still is.
Lemonade was a popular drink. I was going to actually rhyme it. Harry Potter is a fictional book, and it still is. All right, go ahead.
Oh, you stopped.
I did.
Well, you retired.
Well, I did retire. Okay. I don't rap any longer than that.
People who quote the Bible, why? You realize you're always talking about goats and sheep and shepherds and things that you do not have around you anymore. Stop. If nothing else, try and draw the analogy to something that is in front of you in the current day and era. And if you do that, you'll see that maybe, you know what, maybe you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that it took her husband to, I think, because that's the crazy thing, is that reading on to art throughout this, her husband said, okay, show me where it says you can't do this. And she couldn't. That's why she apologized.
Exactly.
She didn't apologize because she was stupid.
Right. She apologized. You know, Yeah. She apologized, well, biblically, really. Oh, well, okay, yeah, I can't find it in the book, so you're right.
In the course of Bibling, I wasn't able to, you know, come up with the right answer, so.
I know one thing for sure. I don't know if I'd want to go to church with that woman, but I might want to go to church with the next person, though.
Who's that?
Deacon Weed Cookie.
Yeah.
My man. 70-year-old man got his whole church high on weed cookies. Allegedly. Amen. On accident. WBLK, who you shouted out last week, I believe.
The People's Station.
The People's Station, 93.7.
No doubt.
Yeah. Wait, I love that his name is Mr. Jones. That's
Mr. Jones.
I don't care if he's black or white or whatever. I just love the fact that the guy's name is Mr. Jones, from St. John's Apostle Catholic Church. Last year, six congregation members at the St. John's Apostle Catholic Church in Bloomington, Indiana, indulged in these special cookies. Apparently, they got high. Those cookies were laced. And the cases range for the ages of 12 to 70. There were only six people in there, so, you know, grandparents and grandkids. Where many said the cookies tasted unusually salty.
That was weird.
That is a little weird.
That's odd. Yeah.
A 74-year-old parishioner identified only as Mr. Jones, as he only should be Mr. Jones, is now accused of lacing the cookies with THC. Oh, man. Boy.
Listen. Not unlike the story about Danny Trejo, this is the story that made me cry. Got me all inside my emotions. But Mr. Jones, 74. Danny Trejo, believe it or not, is 75, which I didn't know.
Let's go.
So from now on, as far as I'm concerned, that is the greatest generation.
Yes, by far. By far, yeah.
By far. Hands down.
Shout out to my pops. He turned, 2 weeks ago from this episode, he turned 77. So
God bless. Yeah, there you go.
God bless him. Mr. Jones did admit to making the cookies, Kev, but he denied adding any illegal substance. The police later obtained a warrant to search his home and found an orange pill bottle containing capsules, which later tested positive for marijuana and now faces preliminary charges of criminal recklessness and possession of hash oil.
Yo, I've never had hash oil or capsules containing THC in my life. He's like the stringer bell of the Apostle Church.
He's out there doing it. All of it.
Hey.
74 hey. Years old. What you going to charge him with, man? What are you going to do? Leave him alone, man. He didn't mean to get them people high. Yeah. Knock it off. And if he did, then y'all pissed him off. That's the problem.
Props to WBLK. God, my favorite radio station used to be WRMS, but WBLK is now my favorite radio station, and it's worth noting that this piece, this hard-hitting journalism, was written by DJ Wire.
Let's go. Let's go, WBLK. Do all of it. You know what I mean? Win.
He's the man, DJ Wire.
From Wire first to one Wire. In the club. First one in the club.
The first one in the club, the last one to leave.
Still carrying records, I bet. yo, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. for this closeout topic. Shout out to Fizz.
Yep.
Fizz is an avid movie watcher. Like, Fizz just be watching movies and then talking about them, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not watching any of that. Well, the things he suggests to me on Netflix, I definitely check out, but, you know.
Yeah.
I will never say that I've watched as many movies as him. You titled this Devil in a Snitch Jacket, courtesy of Fizz.
That's right.
I'm going to read the reason, and then I'm going
to... And that was really just for him, because he's the only one I think that we know who's going to appreciate that.
Fair enough. Author Walter Mosley quits Star Trek Discovery. Let me run that back. Arthur Walter Mosley quit Star Trek Discovery after using N-word in writer's room. All yours, Kev. I'm out.
Man, Devil in a Snitch Jacket. Let's start out. Let's start out by pointing out that this is highly illogical. Walter Mosley. So he penned an op-ed for the New York Times. And I'm reading from the piece on Friday, in which he revealed that he quit his job as a writer on a television series, which they later unearthed was Star Trek Discovery. He had the class to not call them out, one would presume, I guess, right? Although I didn't read more stuff. After he was chastised by human resources for using the N-word on the job. All right, fair enough.
Eh, all right, that's what HR is supposed to do.
It is all, it's Walter Mosley. Walter Mosley is literally one of those people who are like, I wasn't sure he was still alive, and I'm so glad he is. Oh, he put out another book. He's still alive. And he's one of my favorite, personally, one of my favorite authors ever. In a previous similar situation, so this is a separate show, but, he got in trouble, in similar trouble, for telling the story of in the writer's room of a cop who used the N-word to describe men who were basically trying to boldly go where no black men had gone before. And he got in trouble for it. The key quote in this Hollywood Reporter piece was that it's worth noting that Star Trek Discovery has a particularly inclusive writer's room that includes three African American scribes, two Asian American writers, a Native American, and a Latinx woman. I was just like, wait, really? And a partridge in a pear tree?
Oh, man, I was going to do it. Damn it. And a partridge in a pear tree. I thought you were going to say one more. Damn.
Because you're literally... Because the whole point there was like, who was the snitch, right? I'm like, it literally could have been anyone.
Pick one.
So I know what you're asking, Trek. I know what you're asking, Trek Life. Oh, you want to know?
I want to know. Yep.
Kev? How many whites? Right?
I do want to know. I'm curious.
I do not know that, Trek.
Why? How were they defined?
There's literally no way to get that information. Hollywood Reporter gets to the heart of the matter. And all you need to know is there were three African American scribes, two Asian American writers, a Native American, a Latinx woman, and a partridge in a pear tree. Other than that, it's anybody's guess. It's a guessing game.
I believe they're described as others.
The others, yes. He goes on. A pleasant-sounding young man said, Mr. Mosley, it has been reported that you use the N-word in the writer's room. How dare you? Mosley replied, I am the N-word in the writer's room.
Get him.
Get him.
Get him.
He dropped the mic, kicked that HR person in the nuts, and he left.
Oh, my God.
The HR rep then having been put in his place, promptly turned on his out-of-office notification and embarked on an ill-fated multi-state cross-country vacation touring slave plantations everywhere.
Satisfied or unsatisfied with his experience, Kev, which one?
One star. One star. Much to his chagrin, one star.
One star the whole time.
My only regret is that I could not give them zero stars.
Thank you, Kev.
Live long and prosper, Walter Mosley. Live long and prosper.
Yeah, very odd story.
Very odd.
Yeah, it makes no sense. All right. You know what, man? This is what you get when I hand it off to Kev. Just know that that's what you get right there.
That better not happen every episode. Y'all don't understand. Trek does all the work, and then he sends me the rundown of what we're going to talk about. I told him before we started recording today, there's the one thing I really hate reading is "Take it away, Kev." Those quote unquote, he just writes "Take it away, Kev," and that means that I have to talk.
And it's only happens on rare occasions. I'll be like, all right, I don't know anything about this. I have no idea. If you want to talk about a movie or a writer of a movie or an actress or something, I'm out. I'm like, okay, wait, are we talking about Friday or House Party? Okay, cool. I don't know.
Oh, come on, man. I mean,
occasionally I'll be able to know a few, but
when did you, this is what I want to know, and I haven't called you out on online. So I'm going to call you out now in person.
Oh, it's going to be a Star Wars thing.
All right. That's what grown-ups... Yeah, man, when did that happen?
You know
what,
man?
Were you always a nerd? Or what is that... That's new, though, right? Is that new?
That's actually fairly recent. So what ended up happening was I watched Star Wars and enjoyed it quite a bit. Sarai really got into it.
Wait. The first Star... I mean, like...
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was into Star Wars, and I watched it, you know.
Okay.
And Sarai kind of got into it a little bit, and we started watching Clone Wars together. Now, she couldn't hack it, so I watched all of Clone Wars, and it was all of these answers to all of these questions that I'd actually had after watching, right? So then a friend of mine, a coworker introduced me to Rebels, and I was like, that looked like a kid's cartoon, and he was like, nah, man. Keep watching it. And after I finished Rebels, I had all of this wealth of Star Wars information, and I was like, wait a minute. And I've seen all the movies. I was like, yo, I want answers to all that stuff. So that's where it all comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. When I see some, when that, what the Mandalorian?
Yeah, man. I can't wait for the Mandalorian. Yep.
When that trailer came out, and then I was like, let's see what this dude says. And then you said it. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, wait till I see you at Comic-Con.
Not going. Not ever going. Do you know how many times somebody's like invited me to NAMM, for example, and been like, yo, I got you passes to NAMM. And I was like, oh, you could give those to somebody else.
Oh, I would love to go to NAMM.
All right. If somebody calls me and offers them again, I'll be like, my buddy Kev would want them. I'm not walking around NAMM for what? For what is what? Why? What? You think I haven't seen the Beak Junkies do several scratch exhibits before? Yeah. I love those guys. I'm not going to watch them over and over again at NAMM and every other DJ that... No, I'm not doing it. Look at this gadget. It comes out next year. Word, how much is it? $700 for real to do what? The same thing you're doing right now? Yeah, bye. I'm out. All right? Don't ask me.
I want to walk around and see a bunch of DJs trying out new equipment.
Yeah, that's all
acting
it is.
Like they're the best DJ.
Yeah. Try this. It makes the scratch echo as you scratch at the same time. It's like, what? What?
That's what they should do at NAMM. That if NAMM really wants to get it together, they should be like Comic-Con and have everybody dress up like their favorite Beach Hunter.
That
or X-Men
would be great.
The other X-Men.
But I don't think it should be your favorite Beat Junkie or X-Men. I think it should be your favorite DJ, right? Or one of your favorite DJs. It doesn't have to be your absolute favorite. I'm going as Mark Love.
There you go.
I'm going as Mark Love all day.
There you go.
And he's going to just yell at me when he sees me, because there's no way that I would be able to do that to Mark Love's pleasing. But I'm going as Mark Love, period, point blank.
Oh, man.
Anyway, you guys are live on...
Peace to Mark Love.
Peace to my man, Mark Love. You are live on Rap Sucks Radio. We are out of here like last year. Thank y'all for listening. This is your homeboy, Track Life, and your fam, Cap Sakota.
Yep.
We appreciate y'all listening. Please like, comment, rate, subscribe, discuss, get down with us. You can catch us on RSR Podcast on Facebook, and of course, rapsucksradio.com. Kev is making site improvements. It looks real nice. You can also catch us on YouTube. And I didn't say this last episode, Kev. Why am I tripping, man? You could catch us on iHeartRadio.
Yeah, well, I think you maybe always could have caught us on iHeartRadio.
Come on,
never
do this.
Knew
that. Don't do this. Come on. Let's just make it.
Man.
Let's just act like it's new. You can catch us on
iHeartRadio. By the way, every new episode comes out. What I realize is every new episode comes out on Tuesday, which makes us who?
Oh, Kings of Tuesday.
King Tuesday.
Yeah, King Tuesday. We won't trademark it, y'all. Holler at y'all next time. Count of three. We say peace. 1, 2, 3. Peace.
Peace.